The podcast you're about to hear is a comedy show intended for an adult audience, and it contains explicit language. All opinions are our own, and we may sometimes go on tangents that are not at all about figure skating. Strap in, enjoy, and remember, our safe word is Quad Sal. Let's go. Welcome to the Iced Tea Podcast, the podcast where we spill the tea on figure skating. My name is Megan.
I'm Neda. Hi, Megan. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. It's the Olympics. It's our 100th episode.
Oh my God, it is?
Yeah.
Oh, happy 100.
I love that it lined up with our first Olympics. Our first Olympics episode of this Olympics
because we're a billion years old. Wow. I did not realize this is our 100th episode. That's so exciting.
Yeah, I think that they're like they're like numbered a little bit wrong on our creator facing podcast thingy. But then like in terms of like ones we've put out as full episodes, it's our 100th.
Oh my God. Well, good on us. We've broken 100. That's huge.
That's huge. A lot of people didn't. You know who didn't? Ilya Malinin in the short program. But that's okay. We'll get there.
How does it feel to outscore Ilya Malinin? Please discuss.
It's basically like an elite club of us and Yuma Kageyama, and we all love Snoopy, and we're just screaming with Kaori Sakamoto.
We're skating at the Olympics on behalf of the Peanuts.
Yeah, pretty much. Which Peanut are you? If you can't, I guess you would be Snoopy, right? Would you identify as Snoopy if Yuma hadn't already claimed Snoopy?
Yeah, but I guess I'm Woodstock then.
I am Marcy.
Yeah, I see that for you.
I could also see myself as Schroeder because he's the musician, but I talk too much. I feel like he's more of a silent, like, artist type.
I got a Peanuts calendar, like a little desk calendar for Christmas, and it's one of those little ones where every day I get a different comic strip, and it's like I get to keep them, by which I mean I've been keeping them, kind of thinking that I'm going to do some, like, Dadaist, like, cutting them up and, like, making new comic strips out of them. But it's on my desk is what I was leaning up to. We have, for today, I'm going to take a picture of it and I'm going to send it to you. I have a beautiful piano of Charlie Brown, like, scream crying, saying, I can speak for myself. And I find that deeply relatable. I also got a Snoopy Funko Pop from my friend Gianna.
Oh my
God. It's the Snoopy and the big jacket.
Oh, of course, yeah.
I have him facing the calendar, so he's just kind of always observing his 3D simulacrum is always observing what's happening in his 2D world.
That's huge.
Yeah.
That's so nice that you're giving him enrichment activities.
Yeah, he has big enrichment in his enclosure, which is my podcasting desk. All this to say, the Olympics is happening.
It sure is. And I don't know about you, Netta. I mean, I do in real life because we're friends. But podcasting Megan, who only speaks to podcasting Netta on air.
Oh my God, are we Severance?
Yeah, we're Severance.
Okay. Oops. Cool. Cool. My podcasty, your podcasty and my podcasty are friends.
I'm just constantly going, what is taking place? but no, I don't know about you, podcasting Netta, but I, podcasting Megan, am really trying to approach this Olympics with a spirit of joie de vivre and, like, just total enjoyment of the moment. I'm trying not to get pissed off about things that are, like, angering. I'm trying just to, like, not get involved in discourse. I'm trying to stay off Twitter, except for, like, our official Twitter tweeting. I feel like the wholesome joy of the spirit this time around.
Well, Megan, you find me at a very ice dance time of my life, so I wish I could say the same. No, I'm kidding. Ice dance has been happening, and it has been okay. No, here's what I'm gonna say. I agree with you. I approach the Olympics with the Alyssa Liu mindset of everyone being there is already a W. It's only up from there. Everything's great. Everything's fine. Are there micro things that I wish were going better? Sure. Yeah. But also, something I've been struggling with, this is the team event episode, by the way, everyone. Hi. We're talking about the team event because that happened, and we are doing this mere minutes before individual singles begin, and this is where we are emotionally, physically, mindset-wise, on day, what, 5 of the Olympics?
I will have you know I am fully sitting in the dark at this point. I'm overstimulated by just having been watching the Olympics, and I'm sitting in the dark recording this to give you an idea.
I haven't seen any Olympics today, and it's the first day because I've been so involved with the women's hockey. I've watched so much curling. I feel like Great Britain and Sweden have been curling off against each other since I was born. I think they've just been there doing their little mopping and sweeping for ages. Bulgaria got our first Winter Olympics medal in 20 years.
Fuck yeah.
It was so exciting. It was a photo finish on the gigantic slalom in snowboarding, Tervozemfirov won bronze, and it was like a 60-second wait after. It was so close that they had to like enhance the photo finish like pictures, and it's literally that his arms are slightly longer, so he had like reached his fingertips past the finish line first. It theater, poetry, drama, camp. So I've been having a great Olympics overall, and figure skating has also been happening. So to speak on my mindset, right? I have been experiencing things very deeply. I'm not seeing all of figure skating Twitter because, to be fair, I have most of that muted for my personal sanity. Something I've been struggling with is we always knew that the way the podium works in figure skating is that there's no sharing of spaces. So far at this Olympics, it's happened twice that people have shared like a gold or a actually it's been one silver and one bronze that it's been shared, but
like across the sports, not in sports.
Yes, across all sports there, which hadn't happened since like 2018 or something, and now it's happened twice in 2 days, which is real fun. But we always knew that, including the team event, it was always going to be someone gets bronze, someone gets silver, someone gets gold. And I have seen so many people be like, you know, like, oh, Amber Glenn OGM, but at what cost? And it's like, it's the cost of that's how things work. Like,
it's a sport. Yeah. Yeah.
Like I get it. Like, figure skating internet community, we love being overdramatic. Everything is the end of the world all the time. It's kind of sucking some of the joy out for me, not because of like shit judging and not because of all of the other mess that's like going on, but literally because there are so many people who seem to be approaching watching a sport that we all love perform for the biggest audience that it gets every 4 years as if it's homework. And I've really been struggling with that, and I've really been trying to just have an absolute blast. I'm hosting a party for the men's event, which we've already mentioned because my poster blew up. I'm having so much fun. And I hate when I'm having so much fun and then I go on the internet and I'm like, wait, am I stupid? Like, am I missing something? Should I not be having fun?
Yeah, I hate that. You're like, oh no, am I wrong for having fun? That's the feeling. And then you get like upset. I'm trying really hard to avoid that. But I agree. It's tough. And I think that for me, like, the biggest place where that comes into play as well is in sort of like the personal ethics and politics of individual skaters, and how like if you dare to forget about that for 1 second and just try and embrace the Olympic spirit of like for 2 weeks we're all going to work together on sport, that you're like a terrible human being. And so that is like what I've been trying to avoid as well. But it's hard. It's tricky. I think it continues to be an ongoing like thing that we're all wrestling
with. The one gigantic exception is Fournier Boutry and Guillaume Sisson. Like,
oh yeah.
I need to say that on record. I'm all like kumbaya. Like them and that poor little girl who's skating for a genocidal state. Like them being there to begin with, shameful. Then we get into, you know, the politics of each country and each person representing each country, blah, 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 blah. And it gets complicated because people are complicated, sports are complicated, international events that are obviously a reflection of the real world, also complicated. That being said, we get to see a Minion skate tonight in an hour. And I think we should all be striving for a little bit of like whimsy and Olympic spirit and enjoying that. I think you're allowed to have fun and not in like a centrist lib, like joy is an act of resistance kind of way. You're literally, the world is on fucking fire. Everything is fucking terrible. You are going to go insane if you hold yourself to a purity standard where you can't enjoy a thing for 3 weeks every 4 years.
Not only that, but also, and I'm sorry if this is centrist lib of me, I don't think it is, but maybe, I think that the act of deciding for a minute that we're going to come together and enjoy something in common and be like, hey, we're people and we like sports for just a little bit isn't, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I don't think that's actively hurting anything. I think
it's
putting us in a good
anything.
Direction. Yeah. I think it couldn't be anything other than good.
Yeah.
To just see like, hey, we're all people and we like do sport.
Yeah. Final note, that's like a general note. I shout out to simply every single Team USA athlete that's been using their big, big platform to say a big fuck you to your government. I think that's badass.
I love it. I wish that Amber wasn't like bearing the brunt of a lot of it because she has gone on record as saying that like it's made the gold medal less enjoyable for her because she's getting death threats and that's really fucked up and I will go to bat for my wife any day.
Yeah. I'm happy that it's not just her. I wish it wasn't anyone, but I'm happy that there has been a lot of like very smart takes from athletes. And I think
and some really lowbrow ones, such as Gus Kenworthy peeing fuck ice into the ice. And I really like appreciate that just as much, if not more, because his peeing.
I think that's perfect political activism. Like it's not lowbrow at all for me. Anyway, fuck ice. Let's talk about ice skating.
Let's do it. I think I'm going to start maybe at risk of compromising like the dramatic buildup of this episode. I kind of want to start with my final conclusions and then like
please
zoom in.
Do. I mean, if someone's listening to this without having watched the team event, that's an insane choice and I respect you, but it's going to be just strap in. Come with us on this one.
The part of me that's like five paragraph essay pilled is like, don't start with the conclusion. But then also, I guess if I think about it, they kind of do advise you like if you don't know what to write in the introduction, write your conclusion first and then kind of. Yeah. Okay, so that's what I'm doing. Here's my takeaway. At the end of the day, and we always knew it was going to be Japan, USA, 1-2 in some order. And so in some ways, the really exciting thing was the race for bronze, and we will talk about that too. But regarding gold, silver, to start, I think that it came down to two unbelievably different teams if you think about it in terms of team composition and what is the spirit of the team event and what is like the intention of the team event.
Yeah.
We had one team, the US, with a very, very well-rounded team where every single member of the team was very, very, very good, if not excellent. Okay. Mm-hmm. No weak links in there. Everybody was a solid like B plus to A, but then like maybe A plus because the parent was knew somebody. I don't know. I'm just not a literal metaphor, but and then on Japan, we had like three A plus students, and then like their awesome personality higher friends who were getting like a solid C plus.
Yeah,
and like so it's like the fact that the fact that men's, women's, and pairs were so strong that they could carry along their friend on their back who was just there to be like the, I mean, and I don't want to like, I'm really not trying to be, I'm not trying to be disparaging towards Utana and Messiah. First of all, because I think it takes a lot of character to go out there knowing that everyone's going to be like, well, you don't deserve to be here. You're just here because, you know, whatever. And also they were such lovely teammates and supporters. I thought they did a beautiful job skating.
They're fantastic. I love their skating.
To my untrained eye, I'm like, they're like not that much worse than the people who won. Like, it's all a very impressive shit to me.
We cannot talk about ice dance.
No, we can't. But I liked it when he held her up and she went, yeah. Oh, I liked that a lot. And
I love what she calls.
They are beloved by their team and like just absolutely beloved by some of the most respected skaters in the world. So I was I'll talk about my opinions about the Tara and Johnny commentary that I haven't been able to escape, but that was honestly one of the few things, that, surprisingly few things that I actually took objection to, was that Johnny was kind of like overly like, well, they don't deserve to be here, in my opinion. Anyway, I think they deserve to be there.
How's that Olympic spirit worthy?
Yeah,
you just be like, hey, yeah, you're a personality hire. Like, you don't.
I know.
Every single person at the entire Olympics, including people in sports I don't give a shit about with, like, maybe terrible personal politics or whatever, they are better than other people who do the same sports. And that's why they're there. And we're not.
And in a very literal, real example, South Korea did not have a pairs team at all that they could show at the Olympics. And so they just didn't bring one. And if Japan didn't have an ice dance team at all that they could show at the Olympics, they wouldn't have brought one. But they did, because those two were good enough to show at the Olympics, period. But all this to say that, back to my original point, that you had like three A++, like the top three students in the class, students, and then like their C+ buddy. Mm-hmm. And they were carrying that person along in the group project. And the fact that they came so close to taking the top grade is a testament to how fucking brilliant those three are.
Absolutely.
And so it feels weird to say the group with the three most brilliant people on it didn't get the top score. But if you consider that the team event's intention is to reward a well-rounded Fed, then yeah, I think the most well-rounded Fed won, because the team with the overall strongest in all four won.
So, I completely agree. I've seen people question whether the point system in the team event is a good idea, because it kind of negates, you know, how exciting and like gigantic a margin between, for example, like silver and bronze, or like silver and gold could be, or whatever, in any one of the four events. And I say that's the point. That's actually the point.
I completely disagree with that sentiment. I love the fact that just for once, it kind of doesn't matter what the number is. And so you can get, like, I don't know. It's like we never actually end up in a situation where we're going into a skate, like, all I need to do is finish ahead of this person to knock that person out. Like, in a grand scheme of things, we get that a little bit with the Grand Prix final qualification, but we never get that within an individual event the way we do in the team event. And I think that's a really fun, like, stakes type thing to add to skating that we don't typically get. It's usually so, like, crunchy and I need to get point blah, 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 blah on this. But it's like, all I need to do is just finish ahead of this person. Like, that's kind of exciting.
It is exciting. And also, I think it speaks really to your point of how close it was and how much we did kind of, in the end, end up rewarding the most well-rounded team, because it was a 1 point difference between silver and gold and like the point system, which really, really speaks to the fact that overall, regardless of how each individual event went, overall, it was almost exactly that. It was almost exactly the exact same. It would be so terrible if like one team in the team event got 70 points and everyone else was like wobbling around 55 to 60. But having them be so incredibly close at the end really speaks to a well-rounded competition. It speaks to everyone skated, if not to their full potential, some of them skated 50% allegedly, but you know, if everyone skated to the best that they could have skated at this particular moment in time with the time and prep and conditions that were going on. And what we had as a result was a very, very close competition, which was exciting down to the very last second. And it never felt like a foregone conclusion. And I think that's all we can ask for, all we can ask of the team event. And
absolutely.
I had a great time. I loved it. I wish everyone could have progressed. I would have watched all 10 of them kind of battle it out, because it's not that many skaters. Like, coming off of like Euros and stuff, I'm like, that's truly not that many skates to watch.
I know. I agree. I think that like, for it to come down to the two skates that it did, and I loved that it was right up until the very end. I hate the circumstances that got us there. The circumstances that got us there being that we expected Amber Glenn to do better, and she didn't. She had a great skate, but it wasn't like superb. And then Anastasia Gubanova did amazing,
yeah,
in the women's free portion we're talking about specifically. And so, of course, Amber's like beating herself up and like being super critical of herself, and it's horrible. And so I was really relieved that, Team USA took gold just so she didn't have to single-handedly blame herself for not getting them gold, because I know she would, even though that's not the name of the game here. It is a team event. And, you know, by that logic,
like, I think about that a lot in team sports. We talk a lot about it in figure skating. By we, I mean in my team, back on the rink, when I can go there. We've talked a lot about how as a singles skater, there is absolutely no one you can truly like fall back on once you start skating. Yes, you have your coaches and your team and all of that. You're mental health specialist and conditioning specialist and all of that. But the second you're on the ice, it's just you. And then we kind of expand that a little bit for pairs and ice dance. There's one person who can kind of, you know, help you out. And my coach has talked a lot about how in some team sports where it's a bigger team, like, for example, like in a hockey game where there's just like a lot of your teammates on the ice at the same time, you can kind of quote unquote hide in it for a second. And like, if you're having an off day, someone is capable of picking you up and all of that. And that's part of being a team player, like in terms of like playing a team sport. Like, it's not a shameful or weird or like strange thing to kind of bolster each other if someone is, you know, having a bit of a struggle and someone else is like super fucking on that day. And I feel like, especially for the skaters who are in the individual disciplines, when it comes to a team event or like world team trophy or anything like that, it takes a second to adjust to that mindset, which I feel like is why Amber could have been like, oh yeah, it's like, I messed up, therefore I've let everyone down, because it takes a minute to adjust from, I'm the only person who can get the points. The points are the thing that is, you know, going to make my win happen, to this is a team effort. And yes, this is how we're getting there.
Yeah, and not only that, but also I think that, you know, they ask all of them in interviews, what does it mean to compete as a team in what's typically a very lonely event? And they're all so fucking stoked about it. Yeah. They're like, yeah, I get to be part of a team. Like, I'm an athlete at the top of my game and I never get to be part of a team. Like, how crazy is that? So they're all so like, oh my God, I have to do it for the team. I have to do it for the team. And so they have not only what you said, but then also they have not had the chance to get used to I would imagine it's a skill to learn how not to then take on the whole responsibility yourself.
Oh, absolutely.
And then take the guilt of, I love my friend so much and I let my friend down, therefore I have to feel horrible about their emotions. And like, I think that that would just be like a whole thing on top of just getting used to the dynamic as you, that you mentioned. So I think it would be a lot. And I think, you know, I guess I, if things had gone differently and the U.S. had not come out on top, I would have not blamed Amber.
Absolutely not.
Because I would have said, by that same logic, and this is to say nothing of Ilya not coming out ahead of Yuma, which I think actually probably would have made a bigger difference. Mm. But also, Alyssa, by that same logic, could say, well, my triple loop combo was under-rotated, and therefore I didn't beat Kaori, and therefore it's my fault. And that's the thing about the team, is that, you know...
It doesn't actually come down to one single thing.
No.
So I'm thrilled with this podium. Something that also kind of made an impression on me this time around is the people from whom we're hearing, like, obviously everyone's very excited, very grateful, very happy to be there, etc. It's the people who have been at an Olympic Games before, who have been kind of, and that's true across all teams, who have kind of been carrying that knowledge of like what the team event feels like and what your personal stakes are in there for everyone who's at their Olympic Games for the first time. And I'm so sorry to be ice dance billed again, but the example...
It's okay, I'm getting there. This Olympics is really getting me there. I found myself looking up last night, like, what's a pattern dance? What's a curvelet? Like, I'm sucked in.
Oh my God, welcome. It's hell, but like, I'm joking. Like, I'm doing the thing of like, oh yeah, we all hate being here. I love ice dance.
No, but it's fun. I love it. It's fun to follow and just be like, oh, I know what that move is now. I know what that
like,
move is
now. Like, the politics of it are terrible and the things that are happening up at the top are terrible, but the actual sport of ice dance is in such an exciting spot, and there's so many awesome like up and coming teams, and we're gonna have such a great next 4 years unless things fall apart completely. But I'm hopeful because I've been here for 20 years. And I know that we keep doing this, like every couple of years, everyone's like, oh, this is the worst it's ever been and it's never going to be good again. And then things happen again. Anyway, all this to say, there's that micro moment, which someone was kind enough to like gif and put on the internet, of Team USA waiting for their for the final scoring to come out, and something that Evan Bates, a shambling corpse of an elderly man, according to the internet, at his third Olympic Games does is, instead of being with his skating partner,
isn't
wife,
it his fifth Olympics?
I don't fucking know.
I think it's his billionth Olympics. But he's a little bit older than me, and therefore he's
keeper. No. He's practically revivified just for this. He's in a reanimated corpse. It's terrible. Very impressive necromantic technology.
The curls are still looking better than mine, though. Like the curls,
bratty as fuck. We love them.
Yeah, bratty as fuck.
But yeah, in the seconds before the scoring comes in, his attention is entirely on Amber, as opposed to it being to his wife and skating partner, who could very well be like, you know, celebrating yet another Olympic team gold with, as it happens. But what he does instead is turn to a teammate who he knows will care about that responsibility a lot, and also that is like visibly already beating herself up as it's going. And I think that's the kind of thing that you only get with experience. And I think that everyone on every one of those teams who is lucky and blessed and fortunate enough to go the next 4 years and end up at a team event enough will then have that experience of being like, oh, I know what this feels like. I know it's not just me against the world right now. It's the team effort. And here's what that looks like.
Yeah, he's the captain, right, of the American
team?
He is, and something...
I think, captained very admirably.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's something that it's funny because I find myself, like, I don't follow that many team sports very religiously, like, at all. But I love fictional media about team sports, like books, movies, TV shows, comics. I love it all if it follows a team sport. Mm. And I think it's because, like, the sport itself I find difficult to follow when there's that many people on the ice. But or the field or the pitch or whatever. But the dynamic of a team is so appealing to me. And I love the idea of like the burden of the team captain being someone who has to not only perform at the top level themselves, but then also shoulder the responsibility of everything that happens on the team. It comes down to them. And that is just such an interesting character to me that, like, when I see it bear out in real life too, I'm like, yeah, that was a very like captain thing to do. Oh, captain, my captain, Evan Bates.
Let me use my brand new ankle, not broken as of today, to climb on my desk to, oh, captain, my captain, Evan Bates.
Fuck yeah. Congratulations on that, by the way.
Oh, thank you. I'm so happy.
So I want to talk about, so before we move on from Japan USA, we do have to acknowledge a couple things. One, both pairs teams, unbelievable. I mean, obviously, like, Riku and Ryuichi did unreal. Of course, those the landings that Riku pulled out of her tiny little butt are like unreal. And I think that Ellie and Danny from the US also really stepped up and pulled out a performance that, you know, they were basically expected. Like, you know, if we go back to the group project analogy, they were basically told, like, you need to get a B. And then they went out and did, like, B plus, A minus, and everyone was like, holy shit.
I have been pulling for Ellie and Danny for a hot minute there. And I think they've really, really come into their own with this event and with this season. Danny also, obviously, a reanimated corpse at a big age of 34 years old. I think they both look so solid. I think there's like a trust there that, and obviously, like, I'm psychoanalyzing what we see of them, but I feel like they've really, really clicked. And also, they seem to really care about each other's like safety and well-being on the ice in a way that, like, I really admire. And that's just from like watching like micro moments and like warm-ups and stuff. It always feels like they're really, I'm trying to find a word that's not protective because that feels like weird and creepy, but that's the only word that like works grammatically here. It feels like they're really protective of each other in terms of how they're moving through space and like performing with each other.
Yeah.
And also, both of them, beautiful. I like a bold man. Shocking.
I know, I like him too.
I think he's so beautiful.
I think he's beautiful. I've been calling them the bald and the beautiful. And I stand by it.
Katya found dead in a ditch.
It's true. But listen, okay, a couple things about that. One, Danny O'Shea very famously did stand by his partner, Tara Cade, when she came out about being abused by coaches.
Yes.
And mm-hmm. I really think that's very sexy of him in a sport yeah. where a lot of male partners in pairs disciplines are not standing by their partners or being pieces of shit and making it worse. Two, I think that for all that we're like, oh, like in the media in general, like problematic age gap discourse, I actually think it's an interesting dynamic to have a pair out there who's very like older brother, little sister. I mean, he literally is like, how many years older than her is he? Like, he's like a teenager when she was born. Like, it's like
yeah,
a big.
Yeah. It's like, a big age gap.
Which I think like, it's the same age gap as like me and my oldest sister, I think. Yeah. And so it's an interesting. So I can speak to that as sort of like, it really is like siblings, but from different like generations in terms of like Millennial, Gen Z, you know what I mean? Like all those. So I think that it's like a cute, funny dynamic that I think is an interesting and refreshing one yeah. to see on the ice. Assuming that it's as healthy and nice as it looks
exactly.
from the outside.
Yeah. I obviously like will always have a problem with, you know, someone skating in novice at the big age of like 25 because they could only get partner with someone who looks like they're picking up their daughter from school. But that's not happening here. That's not what's happening here. And I have kind of, I don't know if this is controversial. We've seen a lot of like, I saw someone be like, oh my God, like siblings shouldn't be ice dancers. And I think it's the same thing with like, oh my God, there's such a big age gap in this like pair or ice dance team. And I think it's kind of by extension, what makes some people uncomfortable with like same sex ice dancer pairs is because it's a aesthetic, emotional, beautiful sport where a story gets told, people always default to like, well, this is sexy and like romantic and that's making me uncomfortable. Meanwhile, like on the hockey teams, I've been watching a lot of women's hockey. It will be like, oh yeah, so-and-so is 17 and this is her first Olympics. And then here comes her team captain and she's 34. And no one's like, oh my God, why are they on the ice together? Like, oh, whoa, is everyone safe? And I think we're doing a disservice to the athletes and to their partners by being like, well, this makes me uncomfortable because it makes me think that they might kiss. Like some of them do and they're very in love and that's fine. And I'm not touching the child marriages and all of that with a 10-foot pole right now. But in terms of just like, oh, it makes me uncomfortable because their birth years are different, when there's been nothing else in the world that could imply that something bad is going on, I think you're just approaching the world in bad faith and kind of sounding like those people on TikTok who are like, well, their age gap is problematic. Like, if say a couple is like, they're married and one of them is like 45 and the other one's 30. And it's like, well, yeah, but like, he was literally an adult when so-and-so was in second grade, but they're not anymore.
Yeah, and they weren't together at that time.
Yeah, it's different. Like, we can't time travel and be like, oh my God, like, Megan, you were in middle school when I was in primary school and, like, you would have groomed me into a friendship. Grow up. That's not how things work.
Like, we were not making a podcast back then. And if we were, people would have been like, what the fuck is that?
Problematic podcasting gap.
We're like, Megan, how did you meet someone in Bulgaria?
Oh my God. Like, are you?
We need to monitor your internet use a little bit more.
Jesus Christ. This is all unjust, obviously. And we can't, like, go into the very intricate different situations that could happen that could make any one of those occasions uncomfortable or endangering anyone or all of that. We're talking about literal adults who happen yeah. to not share a birthday.
Yeah.
Or like in the case of like, some of the ice dancers, like people who happen to be brothers and sisters skating, which, mind you, skating is not, it can be, but it's not always inherently romantic. Like, it makes me uncomfortable to even have to explain that to people, frankly.
Right. Well, two things. One being that I genuinely understand why you would think a sport where people are touching each other in what are typically considered private, intimate places would be sexual inherently. I can give you like my in like, this is going to sound, I promise it's not an overshare. My personal experience going into graduate school, where I hadn't really done a lot of contact, anything, dance, improv, pair dancing, mm-hmm. anything. And my experience with physical intimacy with other people was just interpersonal. Mm-hmm. I was really nervous to go into things like contact improv, particularly with like guys or, you know, what if I know this person? What if I don't know this person? Is it weirder if I know them? Is it weirder if I don't? And to clarify, contact improv is it's like a dance movement thing where you improvise a dance, but you're always like physically touching in some way and you're kind of constantly changing what your point of contact is. And so it seems like it's going to be really intimate and weird at first. And then when you're doing it, it really doesn't feel that way at all.
No.
And all you feel is like trust and synchronicity with the partner. And it's like your body is more of a tool or something as opposed
it's
to the way.
It's almost like bodies are not inherently sexual.
Yeah, well, it just doesn't feel the same way, at least for me personally, it doesn't feel the same way as it would in a more intimate context. And so I think if you've never experienced that, I can relate to, I've never experienced this and I can't imagine it. But like if you have, but once you have, you're like, oh, I get it. Yeah, there's no one's really thinking about that. It's just different. And also, to close this out, I wanted to shout out the really funny thing that Danny and Ellie did where he narrated her makeup tutorial.
Oh my God, I was screaming.
I was too. I've been thinking about like constantly every time I have to wear makeup all the time now because I have like a job where I go out of my house. And so every time I do my makeup, I think about him going, it's really important that you draw the freckles on and then get rid of them.
And the thing is, he's right. Like that's been such a staple of like most like makeup trends in the past like 10 years not like 5-6 years, I don't know, but he is right and he's nailed it, and that's a real like outsider perspective into something that's like inherent and intrinsic to people who choose to do the makeuping.
Yeah, so I guess final thing to say about the US-Japan head-to-head is I wanted to, so Netta and I have been communicating via voice memos quite a lot this Olympics, mm-hmm. which has been really fun, both because we don't have to type things out and also because we can save them for posterity and to share with you guys. So I'm going to insert maybe one or several voice memos just to give you an idea of where I was at and Netta was at that night. So enjoy those.
Okay, I just finished. Holy shit. You know, we throw, and we can save this message, because I'm sure we can repurpose some of it for the podcast. We throw around the term gagging. We throw around the term gagging a lot, right? Oh, I was so gagged. I need to be very fully honest with you and say, as you can hear, that when Ilya's score came on, the gasp I gasped was so aggressive that it triggered my gag reflex and I started coughing and heaving. Luckily, like nothing came up, but as you can hear, I'm still joking. I gagged. Oh my God, this is what it's all about. I will say too, I've actually been really impressed and like straight up enjoying Tara and Johnny and what's his nuts, Terry. I think that I've said this before and I stand by it. I really think that they're like good ambassadors for the sport to the 4-year fan normies, because they're so, like, let me explain it to you like you're 5. And I understand why that pisses off skating fans, and it pisses me off normally too. But I almost like watch the Olympics through the lens of who's watching this, who's never seen skating before, because this is like where we get to be ambassadors to everybody, right? And I think they're good for that. Like, they really kind of contextualize everything. They went out of their way to talk about what a legend Bo Yang is. There was a lot of Yuzu erasure in there, but whatever. We'll let the fanyus be mad about that. And then, you know, they were really, really, really effusively praising Yuma and, like, made absolutely no bones about the fact that he's a superior artist, superior grade of execution. He's the one that can, you know, give Ilya a run for his money. And they did bring up Ilya like a lot during other people's skates, which was annoying, but I almost wonder if they're like, contractually obliged to, like, whatever. I feel like it's the Olympics and the you know, there's the people who are the stars and you have to talk about the stars and whatever. Like, I'll forgive him for that. But oh my God, I'm like so surprised at how much I don't mind this commentary from them. Also, Johnny Weir being like unbelievably thirsty for Vladimir Samoylov was not on my bucket list, but it happened. It sure did. So anyway, that's my commentary on the commentary.
So anyway, now that we've calmed down,
now that I've stopped throwing up,
I'm thrilled for both Team Japan and Team USA, because I have a deep respect for everyone on those teams, and I'm thrilled that they get to add a bunch of Olympic hardware to their medal collections. Real winners here in the bronze, Team Italy, truly some of the moments of the Olympics for now across sports for me. Thinking about them makes me cry.
I mean, like, I think about Laranaki Gutman going out and giving the short program of her fucking life.
Yes.
Unreal. I think about Matteo Rizzo, who almost didn't even make the Olympic team. And then now he's coming out here. He's delivering this unreal free skate. He's the hero. He gets to be the one who's like, I'm taking this home for us. I'm doing my triumphant slide on the ice that we haven't seen in so long. Just, I'm like, just weeping thinking about it.
Yeah. They're so special. And there's no way for us to talk about what it must feel like, the burden and also the excitement of having a home Olympics, having it, you know, for some of them, it's like the absolute first big thing they're doing in seniors, like Lara. And then you have, you know, Charlene and Marco, who are not going to do another 4 years. And this gets to be the final thing that they do. And they finally have that Olympic medal and all of that. And then you have people like, you have Matteo, who has finally cemented for the five living naysayers why he belonged on that team. It's like, it's just been so, so exciting and such a moment. Like, it's been so special and I'm so thrilled. I would have liked to see Canada get a medal because I like their team and all of that. But going back, I wish I could time travel to like 3 weeks ago to tell 3 weeks ago Neda that this is how it works out, because I think they'd be thrilled. I think this was like a good, like, cinematic moment.
Yeah, I think that Canada getting into the free was a triumph of its own. I think Maddie Skies has totally showed up. I love that she's kind of become like the pommel horse guy of the Winter Olympics with her viral moments. She deserves it. She's so funny and unique, and I feel like she hasn't really had a chance to get her flowers for just being like sassy and hysterical.
Absolutely.
Just love her. And I think to Matteo as well, kind of to Maddie as well. I think there are certain skaters in this sport that I guess I would categorize them as like ambers, like where it's like you're a Betty or a Veronica, you know, you're okay. An amber. And an amber is a skater who shows so much promise really early and then takes the longest, windiest fuck-ass road to finally get to that fulfillment of that promise. Okay. And it feels like it's taking forever, and there's setbacks, there's injuries, there's unexpected crash outs. And I think that that's an arc that is really satisfying to watch, particularly when it culminates at an Olympic Games like this. Mm-hmm. And I would put Matteo in that category, because if we remember when baby Matteo won bronze at Euros and with fucking Javier Fernandez was there, that was a different era.
That was a billion years ago.
And now look at him. He's finally like, you know what I mean? He's living up to this promise of like Olympic medal for his team at home. I think Maddie is another example of someone who's been working so hard and keeping up like a really like, I mean, she's been working, she's been a student, she's been a musician, like she's been doing so much the whole time and just really like just grinding her little Canadian ass off to get to this point, getting her extensions on her papers and all that. I'm really proud of her as well. I think that was really remarkable.
Absolutely. Do you want to do quick honorable mention? Do you want to mention people that you enjoyed from the other teams?
Kristen Spores got one leg and she went out there and did that.
Yes.
Hello?
So here's the thing. There's been a lot of talk about, you know, going out, competing at the Olympics on injury and all of that. And I am not going to get into that, but I will say Kristen is, she's had one of those careers where it's been so, so, so incredible for Great Britain and in the context of European skating. And she, like, this is it for her. And she finally got to, like, after the short program, she was like, I finally get to call myself an Olympian. And she talked about how literally the day before that, she was still scared that something was going to go wrong and it wouldn't happen. And I think those moments are so, so special. Like, yes, we can be jaded in all kinds of, you know, things about the institution that is the Olympics. But for a skater of her caliber, who is so lovely and has skated so beautifully, to finally get that moment and have it be like, perhaps towards the end of her career. I don't know if she's made any official announcements. I forget, but it kind of feels like it. I think it's so special, and I think that's so exciting. And I love that Team Great Britain got to be in the team event, even though I personally don't like Fear Gibson. Like, everyone else on that team, them included, frankly, like, it's so awesome to see, like, Great Britain in the team event. Like, that was super fun, and she is absolutely taking it.
Yeah, and I really respected that she also, like, really, like, did a very careful, like, she knew her single axle was not going to count towards the requirements, and that's what she did anyway, because that's what she had to do. I think that was really smart, that she didn't push herself. I think she just, like, did what was going to work for her and just went out there, and that was the victory, and exactly. I love that.
Likewise with, like, Team Poland, who I always love seeing all of them, and Katya is always just the most wonderful, and I'm excited to watch her in individuals. Like, they always knew that it was not gonna be about making the top five, let alone, like, trying for medals. And I think that's also, like, really speaking to, like, the team the spirit of the team event and the spirit of the Olympics is, again, not to be too Alyssa Lupilled, Olympic gold medalist Alyssa Lupilled. They've made it. That's the big W has already happened.
For real. And I think another shout out, at, like, I guess we've sort of already a little bit done this, but I was really happy for Gubanova. I mean, wish that it hadn't come at the expense of like, you know, a placement for Amber in a competition where placements matter. But I was thrilled for her because she's had a really rough road.
Yeah.
And as much as I'm not, like, super stoked about Team Georgia in general for, like, a series of behind-the-scenes reasons, like, I do think she's a lovely skater, and I think that she ends up often in the position of antagonist for a variety of reasons.
Yeah.
And some of those are not her fault. And so I think that just on the level of, like, I would like to see a skater who has had a difficult time succeed, I think she went out there and had a really something to be really proud of. So that was really nice to see as well.
I completely agree. My thing this Olympics is everyone on Team Georgia, maybe even including Nika, who's skating I cannot fucking stand, has, like, really grown on me. Because, yes, there's a lot of politics there with, you know, who was Russian born and whatever. And there's a lot of, I bet that if I sat down with those people and some liquor, we would eventually stumble upon a political issue we don't agree on and all of that. But even Diana Davis, who is, you know, a Terry's daughter, which, by the way, no one has been mentioning all over commentary, which is really interesting. Like, well, a lot of people. Yes.
Oh, I was going to say that I don't know what the consensus internationally was, but in terms of all of the English-speaking commentary I have heard, the general agreement appears to have been we are going to completely ignore her and pretend she's not there and not mention her in any context. And
I wonder how that's going to work when we get to women.
I don't know, but, like, for example, when it was Nika, it would be like, and there's Nika with his coach, Benoit Richaud, and then that was it. Like, nobody, and I've heard multiple commentators do that, so I was kind of like, okay, interesting. I wonder if the agreement is just,
I feel like in terms of Diana, and obviously, like, I don't know her intrinsic personal life and all of that, but
I like her skating. I like her dress.
I love her. I've said this before. I like that they're the only people on the senior field that we've seen who heard 90s and went the pop punk route. It makes me giggle every time. I have grown to really enjoy her. And I think the Metelkin and Berilava are obviously just so incredibly skilled at pair skating, like, and Anastasia Metelkina has been posting, like, big fuck-ass messages about her experience and about, like, what it means to her. So I feel like I've kind of fallen into this, I feel like some of my jadedness towards, obviously, like, the neutral Russian athletes and their whole deal has kind of extended to a country that's a completely different country, and I'm kind of trying to unlearn that for myself. Without getting too into, you know, Eastern European and Slavic politics and all of that. I'm, like, really, really working really hard to not, like, see them and be like, oh, those are a bunch of Russians and they're a different flag. Because they've been so intense, especially Nika has been, like, so intense about, like, how important and how Georgian all of this is for him. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to, like, really unlearn my jadedness there. That being said, I don't like half of their skating, but I'm thrilled. I'm still, like, them making it, them, like, being for a second there in the conversation for the podium, I think that's huge. And, like, imagine that on, like, fucking Georgian sports news. Like, it's not, like, the most prolific of fields. And I get to say that because, my God, we have, like, five Olympians this Olympics.
Yeah. And I think it's, like, again, like, not to be, like, not to lib out over this, but I think that for the duration of the Olympics, at any rate, if you're mm-hmm. willing to go out there and say, this is the flag I'm walking under, and it's not the other one that maybe people would expect me to, but it's this one, I think that means something.
I completely agree. That made me, like, gave me a little chill, actually.
I'm glad.
Agree. I think this is, you can't choose where you're born and who you're born to, but you can't choose, like, what you represent and who you represent it for. And sometimes that means choosing to represent France with an abuse apologist. And sometimes it means abandoning maybe like a flag that would have been seen as very prestigious for the sake of representing something that cares, that matters to you. And again, like, those are just judgment calls that I'm making based on the athletes that we're seeing and not the people that they are, because we don't know them.
Yeah, totally. One thing I want to say overall mm-hmm. is this ice surface is like maybe the best I've ever seen in terms of the way people are performing their fucking hearts out on it. I've heard many athletes, including Alyssa Liu, who I think would fucking know, say that it's like the best ice surface that they've been on in a while. Everybody's going out. I mean, the women's short program was like banger after banger, no skips. Everybody went out and
I'm so glad we've been seeing a lot of good skating. Like, that's what you want to see.
Even the bad ones, it's like, oh, it wasn't under rotation, or it was like, oh, like a hand down. It's like, I don't know. Like, we haven't seen too many, I don't want to jinx this, but I just feel like we haven't seen too many wipeouts compared to what we might see at like a Grand Prix event or something like that.
Yeah.
I just think like the ice is a beautiful surface. Now, the surface of the podiums, we've had some questions about.
Yeah, we can talk more about that.
I think more information is coming out about that, is my understanding, about like the impact and both like, and like what it is versus what people are saying.
And the fall, and like the way that the organizing committee has reacted to it and like made accommodations and is like, I bet you that by the time we get to individual podiums, there will be a little area rug from IKEA on there, because
if you're not up on this, basically the surface of the podiums that they have to step onto to get the medals is apparently not good for the blades, and there was concern about that. But the more on this story as it develops. But the ice itself, gorgeous. And I love that for them.
Yeah, I think in general there was like so much concern about how prepared Italy was in terms of facilities up until the very last second. But like everything we've seen, aside from the power going out in the first 5 minutes of the Olympics and the first curling matches, which happened and was hilarious, I feel like everything's been like working really well.
Maybe not so much like whoever's running the music. That's been an issue. But
yeah, there's been, look, we can have a bonus episode when this is all over about all of the snafus and missteps of the production side. But what we've been seeing so far, like, I'm yet to, last night after the rhythm dance in the individual ice dance competition, I went to bed pissed off as fuck. And this morning, and it might be just because I got good personal news about my ankle health, but I'm bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and ready to like enjoy the rest of this. Yes, I'm not going to be happy about everything. Yes, it's impossible for every single placement to be exactly what I would love it to be if it was just me with like everyone's names on little magnets and I have to like arrange them in terms of like who I like best. But I think we're seeing good competition. And I feel like the vibes have been great overall. We've seen a lot of, you know, people from different countries interacting and having fun and like enjoying this Olympic experience. And I just think it's so nice to see an Olympics that feels more like the Olympics where you were used to as kids compared to like last time when it was pandemic and dark and everything was horrible and all that.
Yeah, I mean, like, it was fun because we were together, but it feels real in terms of what we're seeing. It feels like the fanfare, not just the music, but I mean, like, you know, in the more metaphorical sense, like the fanfare and the pomp and circumstances all there. Even like seeing, I don't know, it's meaningful to me as a skating fan, as a really diehard fan of a niche sport, to see fucking like really like high profile.
Fucking Novak Djokovic was on his feet for Matteo Rizzo, like.
Yeah, and like, and then afterwards we go to like the really like swanky NBC Sports Lounge where it's like Scott Hamilton and like I feel so bad, I can never remember the name of the people whose job it is to just like anchor the whole sports all day. But like those people are asking like really like relevant questions about my sport that no one gives a shit about usually.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my god, like airtime, hello, attention. This is so cool. It finally feels as important as it feels to me all the time. So that's really special, I think.
Exactly. I think that's a great way to wrap this up.
Yeah, so we have to go watch the men's short now.
We have to go watch the men's short. Minions are happening.
I need Shinsato to come out. I mean, whatever, this might age poorly, but I need Shinsato to come out guns a fucking blazing.
Yeah, well, let's not make predictions, but like my thing is things are going to happen. They're not maybe going to be the exact things that I want to happen. And barring like a couple of absolute travesties, I'm here to be happy and entertained and full of Olympic spirit. Young, dumb, and full of Olympic spirit.
I love it. Also, I've never loved an Olympic mascot the way I love Tina. I'm so in love with Tina.
And Milo with his little tail. And I Milo, care him so deeply.
And the little snowdrops, too. I just love all of them so much. We all know. Okay, I'm going to talk about this a lot. Nobody loves Tina more than me except for Kaori Sakamoto.
Yeah, she's more thrilled about Tina than everything else that's happening. Guys, this has been an episode.
It sure has. So we're going to go enjoy the men's short program.
We're going to go enjoy the men's short program. If you're a patron, we appreciate you. If you're not a patron, we still appreciate you. You can support us on patreon.com/ICPod. You know the whole deal. It's all in the show notes. Men's short is happening. Love you. Bye.